brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
It's practice time. It's camp time.
Gives us a chance to kind of sharpen our skills up a little bit.
Special camp there at Roswell that's not just about on-the-field benefits. It's about off-the-field benefits and lessons, remembering one of your own. Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, off-season style. But, he says, there really is no off-season when it comes to high school football. Not in the state of Georgia, not in the number three state in the country when it comes to college recruiting, players going to the next level, teams that want to figure out who they are when it comes to reclassification and what it's going to be like with their new partners and their new regions and their new classes. It does not stop. John here, Hannah there, and this one, this time around, it's a bit of an eye-opener on a couple of different fronts for folks that may just sit there and see that camps word and associate it with, okay, yeah, we get to learn about ourselves. It's a learning experience across the board, and there's one in particular that's a great learning experience.
Yes, today we are zeroing in on Roswell High School's football camp. They host a 7-on-7 tournament for the past couple of years in honor of former quarterback Robbie Roper. He passed away right after his junior season. He had four college scholarship offers at the time, with I'm sure many more that were to come if he got to play his senior season with the Hornets. So Robbie wore number 5, and a scholarship is given out during this tournament in the amount of $5,555.55.
Perfect.
So the tournament is June 9th. We're talking to Coach Pruitt today. We're talking to Robbie's dad, James, to get an insight on that camp and then just camps in general. So something that we talked about on the Beyond the Lights podcast, the sister podcast to this one, I had Amy Heklinski on.
Yes, you did.
Who is Jeremy Heklinski's mom.
I've heard of him.
He was the quarterback at Walton. He now plays at Wake Forest. She mentioned, you know, football is different. So she has a kid that's still playing baseball at the high school level. She has a daughter that's on to college softball. Football is different because you don't have club ball.
Yeah.
High school football is it. It's what you've got to get looks for scholarships. So these camps are so important when it comes to getting your name out there and getting your talents kind of honed and shown. Wouldn't you agree, John?
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at programs that are trying to build reputations, programs that are trying to solidify their reputations, states that are trying to sit there and attach themselves to the recognition of doing well in these camps. Because when you go to a camp, it's not just going to a camp in the state of Georgia. I mean, you'll go to a camp in Alabama, you'll have teams from Tennessee, Alabama, you know, Georgia, Mississippi, Panhandle of Florida. It truly is a regional, if not a national, happening now, where you have folks, they will keep an eye on you. They'll sit there and go, okay, so that's what the opponent's going to look like this year. That's what they might be doing. And this new generation that we have when it comes to the sport in and of itself for high school football, where it is 30 days a month, is 30 hours a day, 8 days a week, 370 days a year, as you were talking about with Amy, where there is no stopping. And there's no stopping for the student athlete. There's no stopping for the coaching staffs. There's no stopping for the schools that want to put on these camps and get recognized on a national scale, because while you have teams playing in camps, you got dudes that are sitting there on the sidelines and they're just kind of, I'm going to do my impression here real quick.
Okay.
Just kind of kicking back in the, you know, they're on the sidelines and they're just going, okay. So that individual does, you know, you've got folks that are paying attention to these athletes at these camps as a part of the recruiting process and the recognition process. All these different things that are now attached to that camp word that we see these days.
Yeah. Well, let's bring Coach Chris Pruitt on to chat about this, and he gives us a really good insight on what all goes into this and hosting a camp. Hey, Coach Pruitt. So we know football never stops. It's May. It's practice time. It's camp time. Tell me how important camps are, and how do they prepare your guys for the season?
Yeah, camps are huge. You know, they play a big role in the summer, whether they're 7-on-7, whether they're team camps, whatever we may be, whatever it may be for that particular camp. To be honest, it's a chance for our guys to compete and compete without knowing the opponent. compete without a scouting report, compete without any preparation, which as a coach kind of gives you a little bit of anxiety because usually you have everybody prepared. You got everything lined up. You have a schedule, what you're going to do all week. And you know, Friday, you kind of know what's going to happen. The camps are really a time where we can say, okay, like this is the playbook. This is what we have. Just play. You know, we may go to a camp and run three things and we may do it over and over and over. And we're just really trying to hone in and get good at whatever that is. The second piece of that is I think it bonds us together. We go to a camp, whether it's local, away, whether we stay or whether we don't. And, you know, you don't have anybody else to rely on other than your brothers and your guys that are on the team. So it allows us to get a ton of reps and get a ton of work. But it also allows our team to come closer together and grow that bond, which is so special about our program.
How important is it for coaching staffs as well to have to learn something on the fly? It's like you don't know your opponent. You know, it could be the equivalent of, okay, we're going to draw a number. And if you match this number, then you get this opponent. How important is it for coaching staffs to be in these situations as well where, you know, you might be in a situation, say, later in a year where you don't have as much time to prepare for an opponent? Those kinds of pressure situations for coaching staffs, how important is our camps on your end?
To be honest, that's the most challenging part, right? That's the hardest part about, you know, being a coach and being at a higher position. I always tell people, I hate to use the term like the bullets are flying because it's not like that serious. It's just a game ultimately. But like when you go into a game and things are happening, you have to be able to kind of calm, collectively make good decisions. And you can't be erratic. You can't be all over the place. And that camp situation, that camp setting, sometimes you see a team and like you literally the first play, maybe you have to figure out what exactly they're doing. And, oh, maybe our second play can be an adjustment off of what we've seen. And it just gives our guys a chance, especially the, you know, myself calling the defense and our offensive play caller who calls our offense, gives us a chance to kind of sharpen our skills up a little bit and say, okay, you know, we're getting this. This is maybe our counter off of that. Or what are we going to do to fix this? What are we going to do to make an adjustment here? It allows our kids to know that all the time we put in as far as installing plays, repping plays, we may need it at a certain time. Like you're saying, game 13 of the year, we may need a certain play that we've worked on for 13 weeks. No one sees the 13 weeks of doing the practice or doing the reps in practice, but week 13, when we need it, we better be able to execute it the right way. And sometimes that's what happens. You run a play for 6 weeks before you run it once. So just being able to call on that, and that allows us to do a lot of good things like that, I think. And it ties in a lot of stuff we do all the way back to when we start spring practice here.
How much are players judged during camps? Are there recruiters there? Do you do tapes? What's the level that you guys are really like zeroing in on everybody at?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I think I look at it and say, like, I guess it depends on the camp you go to, right? There's some camps that, you know, if we go, like, we have 2 7-on-7 camps. We're going to Georgia Tech and we're going to Georgia, you know, and obviously most of our kids, I don't think this is breaking news to anybody. We're not going to have a roster full of Georgia and Georgia Tech players on our team, but we have the ability if some guys can maybe show out and perform at that level and kind of get at least a notice of some of the coaches. When you go to certain camps, you may be off at a kind of on a field by yourself, you know, and you're kind of working and quietly working. I think it gives us a chance to we try to film everything just so that way we can teach from it. And, you know, ultimately we're teachers of football. That's how we got into coaching. So if we can film it, teach it, correct mistakes from that, whether it be a 7-on-7 at Georgia Tech in June or whether it's a camp in July. If we can change and correct anything, we try to hit on that and we try to go through it. It takes a long time to go through all that stuff, but for some of our kids, some of that's it clicks at those camps, and you can see the understanding and the wheels are turning a little bit faster. So I guess it just depends on the camps I think you go to for sure.
Man, when we mention camps, you mentioned some of the on-the-field benefits leading into a season, but there's a very special camp there at Roswell that's not just about on-the-field benefits. It's about off-the-field benefits and lessons, remembering one of your own.
Yeah, it's a big deal for us. It's that first Friday every summer. or what we've done in the past 2 years, having Robbie Roper 7-on-7 tournament at our place, is definitely a something we don't take lightly, and we don't take it for granted that we are able to have it. It's been a good to me instructional part of what we do during the summer. It's the first week, you know, a lot of kids are trying to shake the rust off and trying to get back to normal speed, normal conditioning, normal hydration. And honestly, like, the best part about that tournament, it's not about necessarily who wins that tournament. It does, you know, we have a saying, you know, we're 0-0 when we start the day, and we're 0-0 when we end the day. That's like one of those days where we can really make a lot of mistakes. We can go play fast and really enjoy ourselves. Ultimately, that tournament is about honoring Robbie's legacy, obviously being a huge part of our program here at Roswell, and bringing teams together, and really trying to remind not only the teams that are here, but our players about, you know, playing and living like five is obviously the mantra we kind of talk about when we talk about Robbie. And that would be, no matter the situation, you're just going to play and have a good time and have fun and enjoy it, and obviously play at a high level. And so that's what we hope that tournament gives. That's what we hope that tournament continues to give. And obviously the 7-on-7 reps and the reps for other teams, again, it's not about winning or losing. It's not about posting like a Twitter highlight or anything like that. It's about getting good, honest work and trying to get to work in a good situation where we honor a young man that was taken too early.
I know you travel to a lot of your camps, but when you host Robbie 7-on-7, what's that like? What's the community support like? I know there's a scholarship attached to it. What all goes into hosting a camp?
A lot of logistics, I'll be honest with you. Yeah, a lot of things background. I mean, we start working on it probably in February and just try to go and make sure we have teams. Obviously, that's number one. We want to have competitive teams. We want to have teams that understand kind of the mission and the vision that we're kind of going with here. If winning a 7-on-7 tournament and being the top team on June 7th for 7-on-7 in the state is your goal, this is probably not the tournament for you. Obviously, it'd be great to win. Like, that's what we're all playing. We all are around sports. We like to win. But this is really about focusing and putting a lot of attention on focusing toward Robbie and his family. You know, logistical wise, you're talking teams, you're talking meals for those teams, you're talking shirts, making sure you have field space. So we're able to use a couple of the schools around us and partner with those schools to play some in the morning. And then we have the final tournament here at Roswell High School. So we end everything here at Roswell, which I think is a cool deal, where Robbie played. And, you know, we've been able to host it last year. And we're hoping this is a thing that continues to grow and grow and get better and better each year. We learned a lot last year, and I think we were smart in one aspect of, we capped it at a certain number and we wanted to be really good at that number. We don't want to overstretch ourselves and make it a bad experience for anybody, family, for Robbie, other teams, other coaches. We want everybody to leave here with a good experience. And that's been the biggest thing, is making sure we iron out any details, so that way it goes off smoothly. It was, and I'm not trying to brag on us or anything. Like, it was probably the earliest I've ever left a 7-on-7 tournament from start to finish in my life.
Nice.
So I think all coaches would like to hear that it's we run it smoothly, it's efficiently, and we're trying to stay on time, and we're fortunate to have a good refereeing crew that comes over and does it for us. And we like to think we have it organized well and continue to get better at it as we go.
What's it like for the Roswell community to share a message about someone that means so much? Because you mentioned camps are camps, you know, 7-on-7s and things like that. And we get wrapped up in that whole idea of a camp and winning and participating in this kind of a thing. But that other message that's attached about Robbie and LL5 and living like five, what's it like to share that message and the feedback that you get once the message is shared up there?
You know, it's a cool thing with Robbie and his story, because I think, I mean, you guys saw this when that whole thing went down. Like, it wasn't a thing that was a Roswell community only thing that touched people. You know, I got messages from coaches in California to coaches out of the state, to coaches. We go head to head every year. You know, I told a coach actually earlier today, we were somehow Robbie's name got brought up in a talk with about current players. And I said, I have two voicemails still saved to my phone. It's two coaches that reached out, you know, right after Robbie passed away. And, you know, I'll be forever grateful for those guys that reached out and sent me something, because, now one of the things that I try to do is if I see something like that happen to another school, I find a way to get in touch with that head coach and just say, same thing I heard, you know, it's, you don't have to call me, you don't have to text me. If you ever need anything, feel free to call, reach out. You know, it's, and you guys, I've told you guys before, it's still something that still hits us today. You know, every time we walk into the locker room, you see a 5 jersey. Every time you walk out to our field, there's a memorial right in front of our scoreboard now that's has that green or that green, white, and black 5 logo. Being around that every day is special. And his locker is still the way it was in December of that year. And, you know, it's just one of those things that I think it'll always be a small part of who you are and always be a small part of this program. And I think our kids have taken it upon themselves to make sure that legacy is never tarnished, never, ever forgotten. And I think that's the most important thing. I can sell it all day, but our kids have taken that up and run with it. And that's been, to me, the biggest thing for us.
Now let's invite Robbie's dad in, James Roper, to talk all about this really important 7-on-7 coming up in June. James, Robbie sadly passed away just a few years ago, and you've already been able to create good from it. You've been able to raise money for scholarships to help other student athletes. How have you been able to do something so quickly? And tell me more about what all goes into giving out these scholarships.
Yeah, after Robbie's passing, there was an overwhelming amount of support that came from the community. Just overwhelming and very, you know, touching. We've been able to give. Robbie's number was 5, and so we've been able to give $5,555.55 scholarships out for the last 2 years. Going on, this will be the third one, and we try to give honestly as many as people will apply. We try to give award them, and the only thing they really needed to do the first couple of years was talk about what Robbie meant to them, but. You know, now we're having to just change it into, you know, what, you know, what, tell us some kind of challenge that you've overcome in your life, because, you know, we, of course, we want to keep Robbie's memory alive, but, you know, we know that, you know, 5-10 years from now, you know, that is, we've got to, the scholarship has to evolve, because 5 or 10 years from now, you know, it won't mean the same as what it means today.
When you get to hear the stories about how Robbie has impacted others, how you as a family have impacted others, what's it like to get that kind of feedback, knowing that you're trying to do as much good as humanly possible? When you hear stories, what runs through your mind?
You know, it's, you know, I'm, as you can tell, I'm kind of tearing up now just talking about it. But yeah, it is. It's you know, you'd like to think that your child is you know, a good person and everything. But I'm sorry to hear the stories, you know, about, you know, how he, you know, he treated everyone the same. You know, a couple of stories, like, you know, I don't want to go into too many stories, but one of the stories that touches my heart the most is that Robbie did a trainer. So he worked out in the weight room with the football team. And then after football practice, he would go work out with a personal trainer. And that trainer told a story, I think at his funeral ceremony, that about how he had an autistic kid that was very shy that he trained. And he asked, you know, if I'd care if Robbie worked out with him, you know, one day. And so Robbie worked out with him, and the trainer called me that evening to tell me what a great kid Robbie was. That the autistic kid was, that Robbie treated the kid like a normal person, like a normal everyday friend, and that he saw during that workout that the autistic kid came out of his shell, and you know, he just talked about how nice Robbie treated him and everything.
Robbie was an incredible person and an incredible athlete. I lost my older sister last fall, so I have a very small inkling of what you're going through. It's not my kid, but it is my older sister. Does this help your grieving process for you and the family? Does knowing that you're giving back, does this help keep you busy and help keep your mind busy?
It does, yeah. Knowing that we can, like you said, give back to the community. The Roswell family has been so welcoming and accommodating, and you know, I'm at a loss of words. They're just, you know, the greatest community, and to be able to give back and help keep Robbie's name alive, yeah, it means a lot. And you know, I can't thank Coach Pruitt enough for you know, doing this tournament every year, it means a lot. And you know, it means a lot to give those scholarships out, you know, because you know to me it helps keep his legacy and his name around.
For someone who never met Robbie, you mentioned how Robbie wanted to treated everyone equally. Didn't matter what you might be going through on your daily life, what you're going through with family life, didn't matter. Robbie treated everybody the same. When it comes to having a young man have that kind of carriage and have that kind of a knowledge base inside his soul early on, what did it mean to the rest of the family and to the Roswell family to see someone carry themselves that way at such a young age?
Yeah. It's, it meant a lot to us. And like you said, the Roswell family, to, you know, again, even, you know, 2.5 years later, we still hear stories. His girlfriend's father talks about how he, at a gym he works out at, that, you know, he was working out and he heard some students talking about Robbie just a month ago. And so, you know, it does. It means the world to still hear stories about Robbie. And, you know, and again, like I said, you know, you'd like to think that your kid, you know, is a good kid. But, you know, when you hear, you know, other people tell you stories that you never knew, it feels good, of course.
Mr. Roper, thank you so much for being on today and sharing your stories. And we're so glad that we have this platform to be able to promote this special 7-on-7 event. I know there's a few spots left for people to join the tournament. So what would you say to other teams that are interested in participating, and how can they get in contact?
We'd love, it's a great tournament. It's held at Roswell High School. To get in touch, just contact Coach Pruitt, And I think there's four spots the last time talked to Coach Pruitt. And again, it's a great the tournament. We do have a website, but it doesn't really talk about the tournament. It more talks about Robbie and his life. It's livelikethenumber5.com. And it just has pictures and stories on it. But yeah, we'd love to get the tournament up to 20. And again, it's a good time. And of course, lunch is served. Everyone gets a t-shirt, you know, about the turn that says Robbie Roper tournament on it. And then we've got green wristbands that say LL5 on one side, and then on the other, it's got his signature. And so we give those out as well. So, you know, it's a good tournament and it goes to a good cause.
Okay. Well, we hope you get a few more phone calls after this. Thank you so much for, thank you so much for being here. And I hope that we can catch up again soon.
Thanks.
And as always, we always want to send our love to the Roper family. It's something that we've done. You know, Coach Pruitt mentioned it in his interview, and it's just something that we always want to be able to reach out and see how folks are doing and share our love in all of these things, because it may seem in some circles like it was X number of years ago, but in a lot of other ways, it was just like that.
Oh, 2 years is just
nothing.
Like that.
I mean,
time flies so quickly. It really is. Sometimes it just feels like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So it was important to have James Roper on today.
Absolutely.
To talk about this. And they do want a few more teams to participate to help with the scholarship. So they're almost at 20 teams, which is so exciting. Four more to go.
Right.
So reach out to Coach Pruitt. If you know a coach, I'm sure coaches know how to get
coach
in touch
looking
with coaches.
For a camp. You know that the fraternity is just that tight. You know.
Yeah. So give Coach Pruitt a call. Participate in this really important camp, and it'll make a difference.
On more than one aspect, obviously, you know, Coach Pruitt, he talked about the on the field stuff, but that was why we wanted to ask about the on the field stuff and the impact, not just for student athletes and coaches, but for the off-the-field things as well. When you get to learn stories, when you get to learn about student-athletes that you may not know the story about, and then when you get to learn the lessons that are attached, not about wins and losses. You know, you go to a camp and it's, yeah, okay, great. You know, if as Coach Pruitt said, if you're looking to figure out, yeah, we want a 7-on-7 camp, this may not be the camp for you. But to learn larger lessons and to have young men and student-athletes learn about other individuals their own age that are making impacts in different ways, this is the camp for you.
Roswell's first regular season game is August 16th on the road versus Peachtree Ridge. The season will be right around the corner.
3 months.
Woo! That's not enough time.
there never is enough time. As you said.
I need some more sleep before then.
It is 38-370. Yeah. It is not 24-7, 365, or 6.
So that means there's only three more episodes of Beyond the Lights.
Three.
So check out the sister podcast. It's we just do some deep dives into some other topics. It's been really fun this season. Follow us on social media at GBB Sports for all of the updates leading up to the season. We've got you covered.
And yeah, you think that it's 3 months before things kick in?
I like don't even know how to wrap this podcast up. It's like we only do this once a month, and I like can't even think words, sports.
Okay, here's how we wrap it up. All right, let's go to the ISO.
You got it, John.
Words, sports. It's the old Joe Piscopo sketch. Words, sports, GPB, Football Fridays. Bye.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.